All you that unto marriage tend, and give your hearts unto the fate, as maiden hearts that way do bend, listen to what I shall relate. Where unjust choice through tyranny did bring this maid to misery. She loved a young man passing well, whose youth and fortune did advance both Spain and Holland, as men tell, and eke the glorious court of France. But as her love she oft applied, her parents' crossness still denied. Yet she insisted in her love, and to her dearest gave her heart, protesting still that death should prove her mortal soul ere she would part. Never did turtles more invest a constancy in each one's breast. She often clasped about his neck her crystal arms as lovers do, but little thought those signs a check to bring her kindness unto woe, till peevish parents by their will those tender hopes of joy did kill. Her lover used to make great moan, saying if she were ever fled, his would then be left alone, and in short space of time be dead. That such departing once away would quickly bring his fatal day. No sooner had these lovers gave each other's hands and hearts also, but her cross mother brings a slave whom she would have her married to, crossing her love to please her will, because she would her mind fulfill. Her parents still made no delay to hasten her unto their choice, but what she proffered they cried nay, and made it go by the major voice, forcing her to be made a wife to whom she ne'er loved in her life. Alas, she cried, her heart she had given unto her dearest love and joy, wishing a thousand times to heaven and mother that they'd not destroy so dear a heart and force her mind, to whom she ne'er could passion find. Those sighs and tears could not prevail against her stubborn parents' heart. The more she begged, the more they'd railed, saying she and her love must part, and under duty fix her mind unto the match they had designed. She now being banished from her love, and wedding day now drawing on, she must be forced her will to move on whom she ne'er could look upon. Abjuring off his very sight, and wished heaven would obscure the light. For all these tears her friends increased in tyranny still more and more, so that the parson never ceased till he had read the wedlock o'er. Yet she did speechless still remain, whilst tears and sighs dropped down amain. Then coming home with hands and eyes erected up to heaven, she prays with penetrable sighs and cries, some stander by to end her days, wishing to heaven that it would let the earth sink whereon she stood. In the meantime, her only dear, whose parent tyranny did part, these tidings which came to his ear within short space did break his heart, which then did so enrage her grief, she gave the world o'er for relief. Now therefore, falling in a trance, like one distracted or possessed, fancying the Furies turned her dance, her wandering mind could take no rest, which then did so enrage her fate, her friends then grieved, but 'twas too late. Thus poor distracted woman she, for some few days in torture grown, her thoughts increase her misery, and parents then too late bemoan. Then sitting on her mournful bed, with poison in glass these words she said: Love, though thou art gone, I am thy wife, and this same health I drink for thee. Thou that art dearer than my life, why should we longer absent be? Come, gentle glass, one kiss of thine shall send me to my love divine. Then lifting up her steady hand, as if of her death were afraid, from which with dagger at command, with sighs and groans these words she said: Since unto him my heart I owe, I'll pay my debts, the world shall know. Thus in a trice her life was gone, and blood which for her love was fled. Now parents' will might sigh and groan, for now, alas, they found her dead. They grieve and curse their fatal breath as accessories of her death. Lament and grieve they might in vain, and to the stones declare their grief. None sought to remedy their pain, nor to their sorrows give relief. That had thus through their tyranny brought their own child to misery.